This morning we're continuing our series on the Sabbath, and this morning, if you've looked in the bulletin already, this morning the topic is recreation, kind of like recreation, but a little bit different. Recreation, because what we realize when we come here is that every day, every Sunday that we come is actually a Sunday that we celebrate Easter all over again. A Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection. Every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday for us. So this morning, I'm going to go to John chapter 20, which is the standard Easter chapter. We go there every Easter, so we're going to have a little Easter in September. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? I thought you would think that. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your love and your desire to speak and have us hear you so that you can guide and direct us in the ways that you would have us live. Open our hearts and minds this morning to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 20, I'm going to do verse 1 and then 11 through 16. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Then she leaves and goes and finds Peter and John, and they run back. They have a little race back to the tomb, and they find that there's the clothes are there, but Jesus is gone, and it says that they believe that all he said about being raised again. And then it goes on to pick up with Mary again. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned to him. In Hebrew, "Rabboni," she said, which means teacher. May the Lord give us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the first day of the week. So I wonder for us, what is the first day of the week? You're in the church, so you know what the right answer is, right? The right answer is Sunday, right? And most of our calendars, they help us out by putting Sunday in the far left column so that we kind of get the hint that it's the first day of the week. But all that we experience in our lives and all that we go through, usually our bodies tell us that what day is the first day of the week? Monday, right? Monday is the day when everything kicks off, everything gets started. And in fact, this day is the end of the weekend, right? This is the day that we kind of grasp with all that we have, the last little bit of rest and relaxation before the true first day of the week begins, right? And I don't say that to make you feel guilty about not recognizing that you know, this is the first, blah, blah, blah. It's not that. I say it because what John is trying to show us in the Bible this morning and what the church has picked up on throughout generations and generations is that there is something important to be said about us gathering together in this place on the first day of the week. Well, and first of all, it's the first day of the week that Jesus rises from the dead. And that's what John emphasizes. But even more than that, if you look at John's story throughout his whole gospel, John is saying something profound. And I think it's kind of amazing how he set the story up. And I hope that you will think it's at least a little bit amazing as well. But remember, John is the gospel that begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John, the gospel writer, intentionally echoing the Genesis story of the creation, whenever it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." So John starts to echo this very beginning story of the Bible in his gospel about Jesus. And you notice the little hint that in the part that we read about where the resurrection takes place. Who does Mary think that Jesus is? She thinks he's the gardener, because just a little bit earlier it said that the tomb where Jesus was laid was in a garden. And what John is trying to have us hear is that the resurrection takes place in a garden, just like the very first story of creation is about a garden. So back and forth, the story goes, and John echoes this. Now, it gets even more profound whenever we see that John, in his last days of Jesus, the last days he talks about with Jesus, he pulls back some of the story of Genesis again, too. On day 6 in Genesis, God creates humanity, male and female, and sets them in the garden and gives them power and dominion, and they're supposed to tend the earth. On the 6th day, in John's gospel, the 6th day is the day that Jesus is presented before the people by Pilate, and Pilate says, "Behold the man." And we can hear John saying, "Look, this is the example of what humanity is supposed to be like. The way you were supposed to be back in the garden, this is the man. Behold the man." We did a whole series on that. Anyway. All right, and then day 7 in Genesis, right? God, it says that God completed all that he was doing and then rested. And in John's gospel on the 7th day, we hear these words of Jesus on the cross. "It is finished. The work that I was sent to do, the faithfulness I was sent to model has been finished." And Jesus is laid to rest in the tomb. End of the story, right? That's it. Comes to an end. No, John says, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Jesus goes and finds the tomb is empty. I mean, Mary goes and finds the tomb is empty. And then later Jesus appears to her and speaks to her and calls her name. What John is trying to say to us is that you have the creation, and then comes a time when all of a sudden on this first day of the week, this new day, when Jesus rises from the dead, there is a new creation that begins. The old one comes to an end and a new one starts. I think there's something important too about Mary's weeping, because what Mary's weeping tells us and speaks to us, I think, in an important way, because that creation that God made good and the humanity that God set in to direct and guide creation according to God's will, we all know, and I don't need to go into much detail about the fact, that creation and our role in it has been corrupted. And sin and death and evil have found a foothold in that good creation that God created. And Mary is weeping because she realizes that death and evil and things going wrong and things continuing to seem to go wrong, Jesus dying, she believes that that's the end of the story. Because that's what she's experienced all her life. And she weeps. But that's not where the story ends. The story doesn't end with the weeping. For on that morning, the first day of the week, a whole new week, a whole new creation begins with Jesus rising from the dead. And what God is saying to us in that event is that no matter what sin, what evil, what death, no matter what misery you see in this world, no matter what weeping, worthy stuff comes into your life, that nothing can separate us from what God is trying to do with this world, with our lives, with all of creation. God's intentions, God's plans will come to fruition through even through death. Because on that first day, the day that we gathered together, we remember that God raised Jesus from the dead and began a whole new creation. What that also means is that the cycle keeps going. In the old way, it was kind of like you had a seventh day, you rested, and it kind of seemed like there was a pause there, a stop. This way of setting things up that we gather on this day that is the beginning of something gives us that hint that we've got some work to do, I think. I think it helps us to realize that we gather on this day, the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, beginning a whole new creation. That reminds us that God is trying to use us through the power of the resurrected Lord and the Holy Spirit among us to actually help bring about this new creation, this new world that God is trying to bring into existence. And so, on the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors of the disciples' house are locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." We gather here on this first day of God's new creation to remember God's love for us that can conquer even death, and also to remember that Jesus returned to give us his Spirit, to give us the power to bring God's plans, God's dreams into existence in our own lives, in the lives of our friends and family, in the lives of this church, in the lives of this community, and on until that day when that dream that we pray for, that God's will be done on earth as in heaven, comes to fruition. The early church would gather and eat a big meal on this day, and they called it the Feast of the New Creation. It's a time that people brought their stuff together, and they sat and they ate this Feast of the New Creation. And it was a time to share and be very practically say, "I bring the gifts of my table together for you, and you bring them for me, and we all share together in with the Spirit among us moving and working, and we share this meal together. And we dream about how we can live out what God intends for us. How we can remember that Jesus is present with us. Jesus' breath is flowing among us. So we come to this table, and it's not a great big meal, but what's symbolized here is Jesus' presence with us and Jesus' ability to nurture us and to provide us with what we need of his presence, his love, and his Spirit so that we can be the people of the resurrection, so that we can be the people of the new creation. So we look forward to this chance to come to this table later and be and declare who we are, the people that meet on the first day of the week, the people of the new creation, a resurrected people. Amen.